Robinhood Radio presents Agriculture from Turkana Farms. Here's Peter Davies.
Before there were sheep, before there were pigs, before there were turkeys, geese, guinea fowl, and ducks, and before there were beef cattle at Turkana Farms, there were chickens. But first, before chickens could happen, a very derelict chicken coop with virtually no roof or windows had to be completely rebuilt. Once that was accomplished, going on 20 years ago now, the next step was arranging for our flock of chickens, which we ordered as day-old chicks from a commercial hatchery catalog. Well, when confronted with the incredible variety of chickens in these hatchery catalogs, I found myself dumbfounded. So many choices. Not that I was unfamiliar with chickens. My fascination with them had begun as a child of 5 or 6 when the Germans were raining down bombs on Cardiff, Wales, where I spent the war years. My Aunt Val and I had taken refuge with relatives in the country outside of Cardiff after our house had lost its roof and windows in a bombing raid. Each morning we stayed at the manor farm, and Val asked me what I would like to do, and predictably I replied shyly, "I want to see the silent chicks." And I happily spent hours each morning staring silently at the quiet chicks. An even more immediate experience with chickens came when I was 8 and arrived with my mother and baby brother in America, in northern Illinois, to stay temporarily because of the post-war housing shortage in the home of my stepfather's mother's second husband, which to my great delight had a large chicken coop to the rear. Within weeks of our arrival, however, I, the city kid from Cardiff, was handed a shovel by Fred Lehman, the second husband, led out grumpily to the chicken coop, and told to keep shoveling until I hit the concrete floor. I began seriously, however, doubting whether there actually was a floor as I worked my way down through about 8 inches of compacted chicken manure. From then on, for several years, it was my responsibility to feed and water the chickens, to gather the eggs, and, the one part of my chores I hated, to hold the flashlight on Saturday nights as Fred Lehman swung his axe, beheading what would be our Sunday chicken. So, while at the time Mark and I purchased the farm, I had some familiarity with chickens. I had always taken for granted, however, that chickens were, well, just chickens. I had never had to choose a variety of chickens and was totally unaware of the huge variety of breeds available and what their pros and cons were. And so we chose wrong, really wrong, opting to order a mixed variety of rather exotic-looking chickens, including silkies, faverolles, araconas, Polish chickens, jungle bantams, a white leghorn, etc. These turned out to be wonderful eye candy and a great source of entertainment, but most were really miserable egg producers. Lesson learned. We did some research, and I found that consistently Rhode Island Reds were one of the chickens of choice for egg production, laying around 200 to 300 brown eggs a year. That's about 5 to 6 a week, and that they would continue to lay for up to 5 years. And we learned that they are very hardy, personable, good foragers, and could pretty well fend for themselves. Next, we found a hatchery that had been breeding them since 1936, developing a breeding line that predated World War II, after which an industrial version of the Rhode Island Reds began to be bred by other more commercial breeders. The pre-World War II variety, now usually referred to as a heritage breed, is a dual-purpose eggs and meat chicken, whereas the post-World War II Rhode Island Red, the industrial version, was bred into 2 varieties, one developed specifically for egg production, another for the table. Since one of the aims of Turkana Farms is to preserve heritage breeds of farm livestock, we of course have chosen the heritage variety. And as some of you are by now aware, we always take a keen interest in the history of our breeds. The Rhode Island Red, as its name suggests, was originally bred in the late 19th century in Adamsville, Rhode Island, and neighboring Weston, Massachusetts, by crossing chicken breeds of Oriental origin, such as Malay, Java, Chinese Cochin, and Light Brahma, with Italian brown leghorns. The aim of the breeders was to create a bird that could lay a good number of eggs and also dress nicely as a table bird. By 1895, these very productive birds were already establishing a reputation for themselves and were being called Rhode Island Reds. One of the foundation's sires, a black-breasted Malay cock who came to America by way of England, is considered the father of the Rhode Island Red breed and has since become a kind of chicken celebrity. He can now be found in all his glory, stuffed on display at the Smithsonian Institution. In recognition of its iconic barnyard status, the state of Rhode Island in 1954 chose the Rhode Island Red as its official state bird. It has since been included by Slow Food Foundation in its Ark of Taste, and its heritage breed version has been taken under its protection by the Livestock Conservancy. The deep red color, the strong constitution, and hard feathers of the Rhode Island Red, it is believed, derived largely from its Malay stock. Although it is today an iconic American barnyard fowl, it derives, like so much that is good in America, from a great mix of foreign sources. Its eggs, as some of you have found, and hopefully others will find, are delicious. Our Busy Bee Reds are now in full production, which has been supercharged as the day-old chicks we bought 6 months ago matured a few weeks ago and are now in egg-laying mode. Soon, as we get into gardening season, our reds will be devouring daily cartloads of weeds, which will turn their yolks a brilliant orange, increasing considerably, as you will see, their flavor and nutritional value. So, reply as I did when I, as a little boy, was asked what I wanted for breakfast.
I want a yegg.
Peter Davies and his partner Mark Scherzer are proprietors of Tricana Farms, specializing in heritage breeds of livestock on their 40-acre farm in Germantown, New York. Peter also presides over Tricana Odyssey, in which he customizes cultural tours of turkey for small groups, which he calls an insider's view of turkey. And his third hat is Tricana Gallery of old and antique kilims, which he operates in the Wall Street area of Manhattan. Mark presides over his law firm, Mark Scherzer Law Office, which specializes in health law, also in the Wall Street area. Their farm website? TurkanaFarms.com. Their email, farm@TurkanaFarms.com, or 518-537-3815.